I meditated for several days on the course of these readings. I found that to consider Mary the Mother of God, to consider Mary in our faith when you know we have so many feast days in her memory, so many times that we reflect upon Mary. When you're a priest and a preacher, you come to big days like this, you think, gosh, what more can I say about Mary? What's new or unique that we can reflect upon? We have so many opportunities to consider this simple virgin from Nazareth, the mother of our Savior. We come back to the very moment that we celebrated this time last week at Christmas. We're there now with Mary, with Joseph, with Jesus. We're still at the manger. And one of the things that we notice is Mary's response, her response to the news of the shepherds, the first ones to arrive at this amazing scene, the first ones to witness the birth of our Savior on Christmas night. And they share astounding news. Angels appeared to us, and they said that the Savior was born tonight. And they told us where to go to find the Savior. They told us to come here. Your baby is the Savior of the world. A lot of moms would probably think, cool, all right, did something good. Mary has a very calm response. All were amazed by this news, but we hear in the reading, and Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. She kept all of these things and reflected upon them. It was as if at that moment, that first moment of her son's birth and from the days that would follow in his life, she began a scrapbook of sorts in her heart, keeping in mind all those significant moments of her son. And we'll hear later in Luke's gospel also, when more astounding things occur, that Mary would take these moments, reflect on them, and ponder on them in her heart. And she is a true mother for us all. She is like a mother, one who reflects upon the life of her child, who looks back with memory and says, I remember those moments. The church, throughout its long history, from that moment of Christ's birth until now, has taken time to consider what does it mean for Mary to be a mother who ponders these things? And what does it mean for us to have ourselves Mary as our mother and the mother of Jesus, the mother of God? I'd like to share three ways that the church invites us to consider that. One, through the faith that we profess about Mary. Two, the devotional or prayer life that we have surrounding Mary. And thirdly, a historical moment in an apparition of Mary. The belief of Mary as the Mother of God goes way back. Even around the year 250 AD, thinkers, scholars, saints began to proclaim that Mary was not just the mother of this man, Jesus, but also the Mother of God. That Jesus, who is one person but with two natures, human and divine, who took his flesh from Mary to become human, is rightly called the Mother of Jesus and the Mother of God. And in a hymn, an ancient Greek hymn, a simple antiphon that was composed to celebrate this, the words of this belief are, beneath thy compassion we take refuge, Theotokos. Our prayers do not despise in necessities, but from danger deliver us, only pure, only blessed one. Mary was referred to in this Greek word Theotokos, meaning God bearer. And almost two centuries later, at a council in Ephesus in 431, the church would officially declare Mary as the Mother of God. And so what we profess tells us something about Mary as our mother. Years later, centuries later, we would develop prayers to the Blessed Virgin, certainly the Hail Mary, the Memorare, the Hail Holy Queen. More popularly and recently, our Holy Father Pope Francis has brought to light the Novena to Mary as the undoer of knots. It was a devotion to Mary that he popularized while he was a cardinal in Argentina, and it's one now that I think has come to our awareness even more since he's become our Holy Father. And in that 9-day prayer that can be offered to Mary, particularly for difficult situations, we pray that Mary untie those tangled lives that we sometimes find ourselves living with, those knots of our life, those difficulties. And in a repeated prayer over those 9 days of that novena, we hear Mary referred to as our mother several times. This is that prayer from the novena of Mary, the undoer of knots. Virgin Mary, mother of fair love, mother who never refuses to come to the aid of a child in need, mother whose hands never cease to serve your beloved children because they are moved by the divine love and immense mercy that exists in your heart, cast your compassionate eyes upon me and see the snarl of knots that exist in my life. You know very well how desperate I am, my pain, and how I am bound by these knots. Mary, Mother, to whom God entrusted the undoing of the knots of the lives of his children, I entrust into your hands the ribbon of my life. No one, not even the evil one himself, can take it away from your precious care. In your hands there is no knot that cannot be undone. Powerful Mother, by your grace and intercessory power with your Son and my Liberator Jesus, take into your hands today this knot. Over and over again in this beautiful prayer, we hear Mary referred to as our mother. This novena has special importance to me during an important transition in my life. About 2.5 years ago, I was serving as pastor at St. Mary in Derby. And in March of that year, 2015, I had a meeting with Bishop Kimmy in which he informed me that I would no longer serve as just a pastor in a parish, but he was going to appoint me to serve him in the diocese in the role of vicar general. That was a pretty significant moment in my life. It's one of those meetings with the bishop where you go in thinking you're going to talk about one thing and you realize you've left with something totally different. He actually started that conversation by saying, "Father David, I'm going to change your life." Thank you, Bishop. But I began, after learning this, praying that novena, praying to Mary that she would help me in this transition from being a pastor of a parish and now eventually being full-time as vicar general in a role of service to the bishop and to the diocese. I was praying this novena. And something really amazing happened toward the end of that final year that I was at St. Mary in Derby. I presided over the Mass for our 8th grade students who were finishing their time at the grade school. And one of the 8th grade boys came up to me after that Mass. And this was, he was a pretty good kid, but he could also get into a little bit of trouble. And he was he came up to me and he said, "I really want to thank you for the help that you've given me in my time here at St. Mary." He says, "I know your life's going to change, and I just want to give you something that maybe will help you." And so he gave me this small coin, and on the coin was the imprinted impression of Mary, the undoer of knots. I said, "You have no idea what you just did. Mary has used you in a way to assure me that she's hearing my prayers." And I still have that coin, and I carry it with me to this day. A beautiful moment in which the prayers of this son of Mary were answered. A final way that Mary has revealed her motherhood to us comes through the very popular devotion to Mary as Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mary appeared to St. Juan Diego in the mid-1500s. And as you may recall from the story, she asked Juan Diego to be her representative to the bishop, to tell the bishop that she wanted a chapel of prayer built on the hill of Tepeyac, just outside of Mexico City. Juan was a very humble man. He was really reluctant to even go to the bishop's place. He felt that he was unworthy. He was a mere simple man. But Mary continued to convince him that he should undertake this mission. At one point, Juan's uncle became ill. And on a day that he was supposed to make a visit to the bishop for Mary, he tried to go get help, another priest, to hear his uncle's confession. And early that morning, he was passing the hill where Mary had appeared to him, and he thought he would go to the other side of the hill and try to avoid her if she should be there waiting for him. Well, she was waiting for him on the other side of the hill, and she told him these very compassionate words. "Listen, my son, put it into your heart that the thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart, be disturbed. Do not fear this sickness of your uncle or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and my protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Let nothing else worry you. Let nothing else disturb you." I've always held on to those words, those very compassionate, consoling words. And all of these things that I've shared with you tonight, what we profess in our faith, how we pray to Mary, those historical moments when Mary has made her appearances to us, relate to us this beautiful motherhood of Mary. That God, in his goodness and his love for us, not only gives us a Savior to redeem us, but he gives us a divine mother to watch over us also. And I think it's very appropriate that the church, at the close of the year and at the beginning of a new one, once again put in front of us this loving image of Mary, our mother, to know that as we move ahead into 2017, with the concerns that we may have, the fears that may labor our minds and our consciences, that we have this mother to protect and defend and guard us. So it's right for us to honor and venerate Mary. She is our mother. She is the mother of our Savior, and she is the mother of God.